your Bibles open to the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 14 this morning, please. Jeremiah's gospel, I think I can say that all right. Find a gospel in every book in the Bible.
That's right.
If you look for it, you can find it. It's there. And find Jesus in every book in the Bible, virtually on every page in the Bible. He's there.
Yes, sir.
Because He always has been and He always will be. He's eternal. And this is an eternal book, perfect book. And His name is to be glorified. And I know certainly that the Lord is not going to write a book and not put His glorified name down in it to where He can be praised and magnified by His people.
Amen.
Jeremiah chapter number 14. I'll say something about this in just a moment. Many of you might recognize it, but that's all right. I'll say something about it here in just a minute. Verse number 1, the Bible said, the word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah concerning the dearth. Judah mourneth, and the gates thereof languish. They are black under the ground, and the cry of Jerusalem is gone up. And their nobles have sent their little ones to the waters. They came to the pits and found no water. They returned with their vessels empty, and were ashamed and confounded, and covered their heads. Because the ground is chapped, for there was no rain in the earth. The plowmen were ashamed, they covered their heads. Yea, the hind also calved in the field, and forsook it, because there was no grass. The wild asses did stand in high places. They snuffed up the wind like dragons. Their eyes did fail, because there was no grass. O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, do Thou it for Thy name's sake. For our backslidings are many. We have sinned against Thee. O the hope of Israel, the Savior thereof in time of trouble, why shouldest Thou be as a stranger in the land, as a wayfaring man that turneth aside to tarry for a night? Why shouldest Thou be as a man astonished, as a mighty man that cannot save? Yet Thou, O Lord, art in the midst of us, and we are called by Thy name. Leave us not. Thus saith the Lord unto the people, thus have they loved to wander. They have not refrained their feet. Therefore the Lord doth not accept them. He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins. Then said the Lord unto me, pray not for this people, for their good. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. When they offer burnt offerings and oblation, I will not accept them. But I will consume them by the sword, and by the famine, and by the pestilence. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto them, ye shall not see the sword, neither shall ye have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and a divination and a thing of naught and the deceit of their heart. Now may the Lord add His blessing to that. Let's go to Him in a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for our privilege we have to be in God's house. Thank You, Lord, for Your divine presence. I pray for Your power and Your liberty. I pray the Spirit of God to move and to work and speak to hearts. We need revival, Lord. We need restored. We need blessed and helped. And that help can only come from Thee. Revival can only come from above. I pray, Lord, You'll speak to every heart this morning here and by the radio as well. May sinners come to know Christ, and may Your people, Lord, find divine help. You've shown us favor. You've shown us grace. Forgive us of our sins and help us, Lord, for we stand in need today, in need that only God can meet. And we'll thank You, Lord, for doing it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. Well, I woke up this morning early before daylight, I've had this passage on my heart for some time. And because I'd preached it before, I thought, Lord, I dare not try to preach it again. But again this morning, the Lord brought this passage of Scripture to my mind. And I thought surely it would be the will of God. As I looked outside and saw the rain coming down, that even deepened the thought in my heart that I was right where God wanted me to be in the morning hour. I want to preach for a while this morning on the thought, Lord, will it ever rain again? Lord, will it ever rain again? I'm not talking about the natural rain, although we'll speak about that in a little while. But I'm talking about a rain of revival. America needs revival. Our churches need revival. I've preached about every place in the Word of God that I know in years gone by on every verse that I can and read as much as I can cram in on the thought of revival. Wrote my thesis in Bible college when I graduated on revival. And it's been in my heart since 1980. And I've never been able to fully get away from it. And I'm still asking the Lord to send revival to His people. I want to say revival is not for the world. They don't need to be revived. A lost man needs to be revived. Needs to be saved, born again, regenerated. But revival is for the people of God, as it was here in Jeremiah's day. Their backslidings had brought them to a place where they needed revival. And I don't know many churches today that probably do not fit right in the same class, caliber, same place in life as what these were here in the days of Jeremiah. There's many places I could look to in the Bible and speak to you about revival. I think it may have been last Wednesday night, as a matter of fact. I mentioned Judges chapter 15 and the life of Samson, and how that Samson had fought a great battle. And we are in a great battle today. If we're children of God, we better be in a battle. You better put on the armor of God and stand against all the wiles of the devil. You better recognize a battle and fight in it if you're saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
And Samson had won a great victory, and yet he was faint and fell by the wayside and cried out to God, and God clave a hollow place in the jawbone of that ass. And the Bible said water came out. And Samson drank of that water, and his spirit came again, and he revived. There the water of the Word of God brought revival to the life of Samson. And I want to say to you and I today that the only thing that will bring real revival to us is the Word of God. It is a powerful book, and it has the power to revive us again that we might rejoice in Him. I thought about Jacob in Genesis chapter number 45. And Jacob had lost his boy, he thought, Joseph. And it seemed that all hope was gone from his heart that he'd ever see that boy again. But on his son's second trip down into the land of Egypt, when they went to get corn and for food, Joseph exposed himself to them and revealed who he was to his brothers. He loaded wagons full of the good things of Egypt and sent them by their hand and told them to see that they fall not out in the way and get themselves back and tell Jacob that Joseph that was still alive.
Right.
When those boys brought that word to their daddy, the Bible said that his heart fainted within him. He could not believe the truth for a moment that his boy was still alive. In fact, he was not only alive, he was the governor of all Egypt. He had been promoted in the land of Egypt, which is a type of the world, a type of the Lord Jesus, one of the most perfect types in all the Bible of Christ is Joseph. And there he was in a foreign land. He'd come to the world. And there is where he rescued and restored his brethren. That's exactly what Christ did. He came into this world to rescue the lost and to restore his brethren to that blessed position they had in Christ before the very fall of Adam. And the Bible said that Jacob believed them not, and his heart fainted within him. But when he saw those wagons and all the good things of Egypt, the Bible again said that Jacob's spirit came again and that he revived. He had revival. He knew that his boy was alive. I want to say to you this morning, it'd be a blessed day in your life when you really get a hold of the fact that the Son of God is alive. We can't see Him with the naked eye, but I'm telling you, He is muchly alive. Even seated at the right hand of God today. I'm not serving and you're not serving a dead Lord or a dead Savior. He's alive. He was dead, but He is alive. And behold, He's alive forevermore.
Amen.
And we could add to that and say that He even has the keys of hell and death at His girdle. And He does. The keys of hell and death. As far as I know, that's two keys, hell and death. He's got both of them. One preacher said, shame on the devil. He don't even have the keys of his own office. It's a bad thing. And how true that is. But then I think about Elijah in 1 Kings 18. When he went out to meet Ahab, he hid himself and then he showed himself to Ahab. There he called the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the grove together. They tried their best to get Baal to consume their sacrifice, but they cut themselves with lancets. But I'm telling you, Baal wouldn't answer. And Baal didn't answer then, and Baal won't answer today. Baal is not our answer. The answer to our needs today is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The answer to rain today, if we need spiritual rain, is the Lord. Something to moisten our soul. Amen. We is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not Baal. And Baal did nothing. And I'm telling you, when Elijah cried out to the God of glory, he not only licked up that sacrifice, but he licked up the dust and the water that was poured in the trench around it. And when the people saw what had happened, they cried out, the Lord, He is God. And somebody said, preacher, where do you get revival after that? In one day on Mount Carmel, God turned the nation of Israel's heart back to Him. They had backslidden on God, was away from God. But when they saw that sacrifice consumed upon the altar that had been restored by Elijah, they cried out, the Lord, He is God. And Elijah departed from there and went up on the mountain and began to pray and prayed down rain, ladies and gentlemen.
Right.
It rained again. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
And that's exactly what we need today is rain. I'm talking about a rain of revival. We need spiritual rain on our churches, on our families, on our homes today, across America. Not just here, but across America. And most people don't even know what revival is. They have no desire for revival, no hunger for revival. And the reason is most people don't know what it is because they don't deem it necessary in their life. Now, I won't say this about revival. People got the wrong idea about it. Many people got the idea that revival is something beyond what we have in our spiritual regenerated life. Oh, no. Revival is living a natural, practical Christian life. That's right. We need revival when we fall back from what we really are and what God has made us when He regenerated us. That's when we need revival. It's just revival is just simply getting back to practical Christian living. And I'm going to tell you, we have fallen from that. You can say amen or oh me. And I'm telling you, we have changed more in the last 10 years at this church than we really want to admit that we have. And I'm talking about from here out. I'm not leaving me out of the picture either. Brother, I'm telling you, we have backslidden on God and went away backward from God in more ways than one at Island Ford Baptist Church. And it's just not here. It's all across the length and the breadth of our country. And we need revival. And one fellow that used to be on here, he said that 1,000 times on his introduction. We need revival. I mean, everything that went on, you need revival. But he was just pretty close to being right. We do need revival. There's no doubt about it. Now, I thought about Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter number 64, he said, Isaiah said, oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens and that thou might wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence, as when the melting fire burneth, the fire causes the waters to boil. That's exactly what happened on Mount Carmel.
Right.
Amen. The fire of that sacrifice caused the water of the Word of God to boil. Now I'm going to tell you something. We need the fire of God, revival, to make the Word of God, the water of the Word of God, boil to you and I. Amen. In our heart to warm it. It's going to take the Word to get to a boiling point, I think, to really get us back to the temperature in our heart that we need to be. Now, I'm not talking about just some phony baloney stuff. I'm talking about a heart that is in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about a heart that burns for Him, a heart that longs for Him, a heart that yearns for Him, that desires Him above anything and everything else. We want Him. We don't want the world. We don't want the things of this life. We want Him more than anything else in all this world. Let me say a few things about then about the book. I've said just about preached the whole message. You know, talking about the chapter here, let me say a few things about it. I've got it written down tonight, just the earth. It needs rain to bring forth crops, does it not? Thank God for the rain we had. I can use this morning, brother. We talked about the rain in the office. I said, thank God for the rain. Brother Herbert said, yeah, I said, I just sowed my seed plot yesterday and said, this rain will make my seed plot. Is that what you know? Didn't you say that, brother? I thought, my, what an illustration. There's a man who already knows exactly where I'm coming from with this illustration. If the rain that falls from heaven brings the fruit of the food plot for a deer, don't you think for 1 minute that spiritual rain on our hearts will not bring forth fruit? Not just fruit, but more fruit and much fruit for the glory and honor of God. We need the rain from heaven just like that rain out there is doing to make those food plots that he built, that he sowed yesterday. Somebody say amen right there. But the earth needs rain to bring forth its crops, and the soul needs, requires spiritual rain to yield its fruit for Christ. The Bible said in Hebrews 6 and verse 7, for the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed receiveth blessing from God. I'd never thought of this before in that verse, and I've preached from this two or three or four times. But it said there that bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed. You're not going to plant a plot out there and let somebody else hunt your plot. Basically, you're not going to plant a garden and just give it all away to somebody. That water that brings forth that crop is prepared for them by whom it is dressed. In other words, it's got to be dressed in order to bring forth that crop. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying our hearts has got to be dressed and prepared for that rain. It's not, rain will do no good on hard, solid rock ground. Right. It's got to be tilled up and made soft that it might absorb that rain. Now I'm telling you, the Word of God has got to soften, the Spirit of God has got to soften our hearts, ladies and gentlemen, that it might receive that spiritual rain, amen, and absorb that spiritual rain down in our soul. Right. Amen. I know that's right. Now, well, he goes on to say in verse 8 of that, that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and unto nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. And verse 9 said, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you than things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. Now, may I say to you that said it brings, receiveth blessing from God on those by whom that place is dressed. Blessing from God. May I say this to you? That rain gives evidence of the blessings of God on our life. Yes. Even the physical rain. God promised Israel physical rain if they'd do right. Early rain and latter rain. And I'm telling you, hey, in like manner, rain is an evidence, spiritual rain is an evidence that we're being blessed of God. But you get a hold of this, friend. When we're in a drought like Jeremiah was, and I'll say something about that in a minute, when there is no spiritual rain, it tells me that God is very displeased with what we're doing. Yes, sir. I'm not convinced at all that God is pleased with what's going on right here. Now I'm going to tell you, I could mention a few things. I'm telling you, something's about to make my blood boil. And I'm going to tell you, I'm like the hook when turning green. You wouldn't like me when I get angry, friend. Amen. And all this egg-sucking going on, I'm about tired of it. Amen. Now, if I had to come point blank out and say it, I will. I don't want to, but I will. Amen. Amen. We need a revival.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, our text, they're in the midst of a prolonged drought. The Bible said that the earth is dry and it's chapped, just like our hearts is spiritually. And the pits that once contained water are now empty. The little ones went to the pits. The nobles sent their little ones to the pits to find water, but they found none. The pit, when they got there, was empty. It was dry. There was no water there. They went back home with their heads covered in a shame and no water in their vessels. Somebody said, what are you saying, Brother Hall? Well, I could say I can go back to the times of Camp Zion, Dr. Percy Ray. I wasn't there, but they said Dr. Percy Ray preached on a cry for revival one night, spread an American flag, spread a quilt out on that platform with every state in the Union quilted in on that quilt, and it was thoroughly covered. You couldn't find a place. Men piled on top. He asked men to come up and lay down on their state. There wasn't a place left on that quilt anywhere that you could find a place to lay. In fact, some men were laying on top of other men. Are you listening to me? But, and what were the, he asked him, I'm asking you to beg God to give you that state in revival. Well, we wouldn't think of doing something like that today. We're too dignified to do something like that today. But when that man of God got up and poured out his heart and preached on a cry for revival, he was crying to God for revival. There was something on the inside of him that wanted more than what was going on at that time. I'm telling you, if we're satisfied with what is going on in our time, we are of all people most miserable. Ah, Lord, when was the last time we saw sinners come to the house of God? When was the last time we invited sinners to the house of God? When was the last time the baptistry was stirred? When was the last time somebody walked this aisle and got born again by the grace of God? I'm telling you, we need to see revival. There's no question about it. Absolutely no question at all. I remember places like Camp Zion. I remember places like Tabernacle. Harold Sotler said they had a 6-month Sunday night prayer meeting. They come to that church when it was in Pelham, South Carolina, and they prayed. Every Sunday night, they'd come in and pray and go home and never say a word to one another. For 6 months. And revival broke out. When he moved to Greenville and started Tabernacle Baptist Church, Brother Steve brought that up on Google Earth back there yesterday. I was amazed. Brought up the old house, baby, that we lived in down there. Still there. Don't look as quite as good as it did in 81, 80, 82, rather than 83 and 84 and 85. But it's still there. Tabernacle's still there. The buildings are. But I'm not so much concerned about the buildings as I'm what's going on in the buildings. I won't say this. When I went to Bible college down there, there was a revival spirit in that church, and it had been brought there from Pelham, South Carolina. And hey, you either got in on the revival or you got out, one of the two. You either had to experience revival or say no to God and turn your back and walk away from God. I'm glad that I didn't walk away. Thank God for that Friday night at Greer, Pelham, South Carolina, that old-fashioned Baptist camp meeting when I buried my face in the shavings of that camp meeting and cried out to God. And God filled me with the Holy Ghost then and there, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, yes, sir. Somebody said, do you have a second blessing? You call it whatever you want to, but I don't know if there's a second blessing. I've had a lot of blessings, but I won't say this. I've got something I never had before.
Amen. Yes, sir.
We need revival. Now, I'm telling you, Tabernacle had a revival spirit, but the last time I was there, was gone. The spirit had gone. The spirit had departed. I don't say that Ichabod was written on the door. They're doing some things. But that revival spirit that was there when I was there. I'm talking about a spirit that you can just walk into the house of God. There's just like an electricity in that place that vibrates in your soul, and you can sense in your heart that God has breathed upon the people of that place. God's blessed the people of that place, and God's in that place. Not like Jacob, until after the wrestling was already, after he woke up the next morning, didn't even realize that God was in the place till he woke up the next day and he said, oh, God must be in this place. This is none other than the house of God. Shame on Jacob. Didn't even know God was there when he got there. Now, I'm going to tell you, when we come to the house of God, and I'm going to tell you, we can't find God in the house of God when we get there. Brother, there is a problem that needs to be dealt with in our... And I'm not talking about one, two, three, four. I'm talking about the church.
That's
I'm talking about from right here on out. It's something we all need to deal with. We need to find ourselves on an old-fashioned altar and ask God to put a spirit in the house of God that when we get here, it'll stir our hearts and we won't have to beg somebody. Saying, you know, we were singing that song a while ago about, which one was Brother George sang? And not all I want to see him, but that one about the blood. Which one was it?
Saved
by the blood. We say, saved by the blood of the crucified one. We say, glory, I'm saved. You know what? I heard one person above Brother George and I singing. I heard one voice. One voice besides Brother mine and Brother George's. Now, I'm not going to tell you who it was, but I heard it. Somebody said, oh, we don't have to sing loud. No, you don't have to sing loud. But I tell you, if you get excited enough about God, you will sing loud.
Yeah, right.
You get stirred up enough in your heart about being saved by the blood of the crucified one, you will sing.
Amen.
Oh, somebody said, well, how could y'all just sing in the heart? Why don't you open up your mouth and let it out of your heart? You might smother to death.
Amen.
If you don't,
right.
Might choke to death. Don't let it out.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's right. Now, I'm not going to get done with my message. I can tell you that. Disappointments and shame had filled the heart of these nobles and these plowmen. Their children, as indicated, suffered greatly. The children went home without water in their vessels and their heads covered. What would you do, Mommy and Daddy, if you went home today and your little son or daughter walked up to you and you got home and said, Mommy, Daddy, where was God at today? Why wasn't there no God in the church this morning? That's what they're saying here. When they said the little ones, they sent their nobles and the plow, they sent their little ones to the pits and they had no water and they went home ashamed of themselves. They went, covered their heads and they said, Daddy, we went down there but there's no water. Our little ones are leaving here. I'm satisfied. Most of the services said, Mommy, Daddy, there was no water down there. Now I'm telling you, some of you in here have got teenagers. Unless God does a work in their heart, some of them are going to die and go to hell without God and without hope. And it doesn't seem like we get troubled about it whatsoever. Doesn't seem like we're stirred or bothered about it at all. But they know, I'm telling you, if you think kids are dumb, they're not nearly as dumb as we think they are. They can know as much about when God's around as most adults do. Now I'm telling you, it's a shame. We need revival. Desperately. Lord, will it ever rain? I remember those days in Greenville, man. I remember those days at Rumsey. Just as a young preacher boy starting out on fire, man, I couldn't get enough of God. I wanted all I could get, and I got all I could get. It seemed like I could never get enough. I longed for more. Now, I'm going to tell you something, folks. And we better look for that spirit again.
Amen.
A longing and a hungering. David said, as a heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God.
Right.
I wonder if we can say that this morning. But these children went back home with their vessels empty. No rain, no water, because there had been no rain in the land. You know why there was no rain in the land? God was displeased with Israel and their sin. That's why there was no rain in the land. Christ had become a stranger. According to verse number 8, it's what it says. Oh, the hope of Israel, the Savior thereof in time of trouble. Why shouldest thou be as a stranger in the land and as a wayfaring man that turneth aside to tarry for a night? Hey, oh, hope of Israel, the Savior in time of trouble. A stranger. I wrote down this morning in my notes, hope was a stranger to these people.
Right.
They didn't know what hope was. They had lost hope.
Amen.
That it'd never rain again. Are you there this morning? Have you lost hope that it'll ever rain, that we'll ever have revival, that we'll ever have a move of God, a stirring of the Holy Ghost? That God will ever breathe on us ever again? I'm going to tell you, God can. If we want it, God's got it.
Amen.
Come, old breath. James Alexander Stewart wrote that book, Come, O Breath! Breathe on us again! That breath breathed on that crowd. In Ezekiel 37, buddy, and they stood upon their feet. And first was a shaking and a rattling and coming together. If that had been most Baptists, they'd have said, boy, we had a revival. You know what they had? They had noise. That's all they had was noise. The bones rattled and beat and clanged and come together. And that's all they had was noise and a form. But when the Lord said, son of man, prophesy the Holy Ghost, prophesy the wind. And he began to preach to the wind, and the wind breathed upon those skeletons laying there. They stood up on their feet. Big change, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right.
In a noise and a form, they had now taken life. Hallelujah to God. I'm telling you, we might make a noise and we might rattle a little bit. We might have a form of godliness, but I'm afraid we've denied the power thereof. What we need is real life. I'm talking about Holy Ghost life in our soul, and it will not come until we have rain again in the land.
Amen.
Lord, will it ever rain again? That's what they were saying. Lord, will it ever rain again? And of course, in false prophets, Jeremiah reminded the Lord there in verse 13 and 14. Said the prophet said, there ain't going to be no famine. You know what the Lord told him about them prophets? He said, I'm going to tell you what they are. They're false prophets. And they're preaching a false vision. And they're preaching a vision of divination. I'm going to tell you, if you listen to everything that comes out of every man's mouth, he'll have you standing on your head, friend. I'd be careful who I listen to and what they say. If it don't line up with the Word of God, I wouldn't receive a M, not 1 minute of it. And if it does line up with the Word of God, we better get in on it.
Amen
to God. Is that right or not right? Brother Miller said, ain't that right?
That's right.
I'd be careful who I listen to and who I believe. I'm going to tell you something. I keep them peepers open. I didn't start yesterday preaching and pastoring. I keep those eyes open. Now I'm going to tell you why I stand on this pulpit a whole lot. I see out through there, folks. Now I'm going to tell you what. Can I just run this by you, Josh? You're a good young man. You and Stephanie just starting out. And the rest of you take sound advice from this too. You better be careful. When somebody goes to sucking up to somebody that's disgruntled. Thank you. I won't charge you a dime for that, friend. You start sucking up to somebody that's disgruntled, you've got a problem, and their problem will rub off on you.
That's right.
You better be careful at it. I'm not so sure I didn't see a little of it this morning. Preacher, you're mean. No, I'm not mean. I want rain.
Yeah, amen.
I want rain.
Yeah.
I want revival. Will thou not revive us again that we might sit on the pew and pudge up? Oh, will thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? Hallelujah. Now, can I mention three or four things very quickly? And by the way, no rain should have sent a signal to them people something was wrong. Because the Bible says in Deuteronomy 11:13, the Lord had promised rain in the land if the people obeyed. Listen what it says. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his. I'm glad they put his. They called rain his due season. The first rain and the latter rain. That thou mayest gather in corn and wine and thine oil. You realize what those three things are? Rain for corn and wine and oil. Corn was the first thing they ate after they crossed the Jordan River when they come from Kadesh, when they come in from over in the wilderness. They laid aside the manna and began to eat corn. The old corn. You know what? Corn is a type of food in the Bible that gives you strength. And corn, and then not only was it corn, but that rain not only brought corn, but it brought wine. Wine give joy. And the joy of the Lord is what? Is our strength.
Amen.
And then it not only gave that, but it gave oil. Oh, the type of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost gave power. So what are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying we need the reign of God for strength, and we need the reign of God for joy, and we need the reign of God for the power of God in our life to serve Him. See, some of you done turned me off. When will it rain? I'm just going to mention these and close. It's time to go eat. Lord, when will it rain? Well, it'll rain when we repent of our idols. Leviticus 26:1, it said, "Ye shall make you no idols, nor graven image, neither rear up a standing image, neither shall ye set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God. Ye shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then will I give you the rain in due season. And the land shall yield or increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit." You know what an idol is? It's an idol is something that's good for nothing. It's vain or vanity. It's of no value. It's a thing of naught. In plain words, revival is that which has no power to deliver you. Can I name you three things right quick? Can I say to you that money will not deliver you?
That's right.
That is exactly right. Hey, the Bible said in 1 Timothy 6:10, I'm just hurrying now. The love of money is the root of all evil, which will some coveted after. They have erred from the truth, from faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. May I say to you that, hey, money can't buy you happiness.
Right.
Brother, I'm telling you, ask some of these millionaires if money can buy them happiness. It can't make you happy. People think it can. Oh, if I just had a lot of money, I'd buy this, and buy that, and buy this, and buy that, and buy this, and buy that. Can't make you happy.
That's right.
I don't think some of you believe that. Some of these folks that are made millions of dollars have went out and committed suicide. Wonder what happened to them. Their money didn't make them very happy. And it can't. And we need money. And some people can handle money and some people can't handle money. It doesn't say how much money. It just says a lot of money. But I'm going to tell you something. A lot of money can't make you happy, friend. In fact, I found most times people who have more money, they've got more problems than they've got anything else. Money can't buy you happiness. Money can't buy you health. Spend it all. Spend every dime you got. Let Obamacare spend every penny that the government can pour out on people. Because they're going to. They're going to pour it out on people. But they can spend money until there's not an ounce of gold left in Fort Knox. And I'm telling you, when it comes time to die, you're going to die. And hey, that money's not going to buy you health. If money brought you health and pills brought you health, praise God, I'd be the happiest man of walking in shoe leather. I've got more pills than Carter's got little liver pills.
Amen.
Vitamin A, vitamin B, vitamin C, multivitamin, carbidopa, levodopa. I've got stuff for neuropathy. I mean, I've got it all, friend. Pains for the bladder, pains for the heart. Blood pressure pills. Now I'm going to tell you what. Guess what? I've still got heart palpitations. I've still got high blood pressure. I've still got low blood pressure. I've still got bladder problems. It ain't helped me a bit.
Right.
It has not. It ain't helped me. Money cannot make you healthy.
Right.
Nor can money make you happy.
Right.
And money can't make you a home. It can make you a house. But it can't buy you a home. But I'll tell you what can make you happy. And I'll tell you what can put you in a home that's full of love is Christ.
Yes.
And Christ can do it when rain falls on Island Ford Baptist Church. Yes. Oh, would to God it fall like it did on the Moravians in Germany when they got up on Sunday morning just to have communion and God fell on that Moravian crowd. They weren't Baptists either, Brother Troy. Isn't that amazing? That somebody besides a Baptist had revival. Now, that's amazing. Somebody said it wasn't real. I asked that missionary that was here, that was a Baptist, if it was real on the island of Lewis, and he said it was real. I asked Jim Whitted, as a missionary over there, when he came back for furlough and tabernacle, I asked Jim, I said, is it real? He said, it's real. On the island of Lewis, he said, it's real. The ferry boat still shut down from the mainland of the island today, and the stores won't open on Sunday.
Amen.
From 1950... Not bad, huh? They must have got a hold of something.
Yes, sir.
Because America sure ain't shutting down. Walmart don't shut down on Sunday. Come on in the house now. Materialism. Listen, for after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you three times. Things. Things, things, things. Materialism. Money. Money is a god. Materialism is an idol. And I'm telling you, till we cast those down, and may I say while I'm there, that people have made man their god. I saw something make a dog puke. Brother, someone brought it up back there on the computer last night or night before last. A preacher, I don't even know where he's at. Calls himself Johnny the Baptist. The children stand there with it wrapped up and go, you know what I had his name? The exterminator. Sermonator. Not terminator, sermonator. Oh, and I could say some other things that he had. I wouldn't dare do it. I wouldn't even mention it. I wouldn't even show myself the way that man exposed his body on that thing. Looked like Buddha. I'll tell you what it looked like. It looked like an idiot. But I'm going to tell you, you'd be surprised. Come on, you can say amen. If you think that man is a friend of God, you've got problems, neighbor.
You're right.
Amen.
That man's not a friend of God. I'm going to tell you what he's trying to do. He's trying to make people think that that's the kind of preaching and stuff that will win America. That's not the kind. You know, I'm going to tell you what kind of preaching wins America. The Bible preaching out of that book. That'll give you verse, line upon line, precept upon precept. And I have read to you the Bible this morning. I'm not reading out of a fairy tale book. And you may be surprised if you'd keep your Bible open how many scriptures I have read to you this morning.
That's right.
I'm going to say, and secondly, not only get rid of them idols, but remember the Lord's day. He said in Leviticus 26:2, ye shall keep my Sabbath and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. And then verse number 4, he said, then will I give you the rain in due season. If you will reverence my sanctuary. If you remember the Sabbath day. Then he said remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. I don't know that Sunday is a Sabbath day of rest, but it is our day of worship. You could say it's our Sabbath day if you want. I'm not going to fall out with you over that. It is certainly our day of worship. We're not to use it for other things. Listen to what he said in Isaiah 58:13. He said, the Lord said to Isaiah, said, if you turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight. Did you call church the Sunday? Did you get up this morning and say, thank God today's delight day?
Yes, sir.
Amen. This is delight day. That's what he said. Call the Sabbath a delight. Isn't that what he said?
Yes.
We get to go to church.
Yes, good.
We get to fellowship with one another. We get to pray with a congregation and sing. Hallelujah. Here preaching, said in Sunday school, we get the Word of God today taught to us and preached to us. Oh, what a blessing. This is a day of delight. Thank God for it.
Amen.
Yeah. He said, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor Him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. I was joking. Somebody in the prayer room this morning, they said, I said, what are you going to do this afternoon? I said, well, me and Brother Grace think about going out scouting a little bit for some deer. Somebody said, but it's raining, so we're not going to go. Somebody said, well, don't let the rain keep you back. Now, they were just joking. They know who they are, and they're here, and they're just joking. I know that. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm just simply saying me and Brother Joel was not going out this afternoon tracking for deer. This is God's day.
Amen.
When we get done eating back there, I'll be going home.
Amen.
And I don't intend probably to come out of the house until tomorrow morning. In fact, I may get into bed and go to sleep all night long. God let me, I know I would. I'm not going out there, and I don't want you to. I want you to go. This is God's day. The Lord said, reverence my day.
Amen.
Keep the Sunday day. Keep Sunday holy.
Amen.
It is a holy day. You know where they get holidays from? Holy days.
Amen.
Holy days. Isaiah chapter verse 14 said, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. And I want to say, thirdly, reverence his sanctuary. Verse number 2, he said, ye shall keep my Sabbath and reverence my sanctuary. And that word simply means worship. Abraham and Isaac went up that mountain, them two servants, Abraham said, you wait here while the lad and I go where? Yonder and worship and come again.
Amen.
I want to ask you something this morning. Have you got a yonder? Yonder is a place of worship.
Amen.
Yonder was a place of that sacrifice. Yonder was a place where Isaac was supposed to die, but the substitute died in his place. And I'm telling you that it's around the cross is where we're supposed to meet this morning. That is our yonder, and it's there around the cross that we're to worship. Oh, we've come today to worship Him that's not nailed to the cross. Thank God He was there, but He got down. Now and then He got up, and He went up, and He's coming back down, and going back up, and coming back down.
Amen.
You'll catch that after a while. Bless His wonderful name. Hallelujah. Worship. Come to the house of God and pray. I'm glad I got yonder. And humble ourselves. In the house of God, not come proud and arrogant, stiff-necked. Then I want to say, number 4, we need to return to our first love. Deuteronomy 11:13, and it shall come to pass that if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord thy God and to serve Him with all your heart, with all your soul, He said, then I'll give you your rain in due season. I just read that scripture to you. I just read that to you. We need to return to our first love. That church at Ephesus had left their first love. Now I'm afraid we haven't. You know, that first love is Christ.
Yes, sir.
We're to put nothing above Him.
Right.
Not one thing above Him. We should let Him sit in authority on the throne of our heart.
Amen.
He's our Lord and our King. He's the lover of our soul. How can we say no to Jesus when He loves us like He does? Sinner boy and girl this morning, how can you say no to Jesus?
Amen.
When He's knocking on your door? It's like Brother Hugh said, how can we say no when you survey the wondrous cross upon which the Prince of Glory died? Pour contempt upon all our pride. How can we refuse Him and say no to Him that loved us and gave Himself for us? We need to get back to our first love. Instead of loving the world and the things that are in the world, we need to love Jesus. Because He first loved us. We couldn't love Him if He didn't. I've said it myself. Lord, I love You. I say that every time I pray. But I'm going to tell you something. It's far, far more blessed to say, Lord, thank You for loving me. Because I know I can say that and it'll be a reality to it. I may have a place in my heart where I've let slip that He's not ruling in there. But there'll never be a place in His heart that we're not. He loves us. Better believe it. And then we can, how can we have reign and just rest in the faith that God's given us? In the chapter that I just read in Jeremiah, the last verse of that chapter, verse number 22, the Bible said, and there, are there any among the vanities of the Gentiles that can cause rain? Can I ask you a question this morning? You make rain? They tell me that they used to do rain dances out west. I don't think God honored anything that had anything to do with a dance. They used to do rain dances and try to make it rain. Man can't make it rain, and man can't make it spiritually rain. And Jeremiah knew that. He said it's just vanity. It's vanity. Can any of the Gentiles cause rain? Or can the heavens give showers? No. Art not thou He, O Lord, our God, therefore will we wait upon Thee, for Thou hast made all these things. And He has. God knows how to send a rain. And church, we can pray, and we should. We can labor, and we should. We can wait. We can give our money, our time, our talents, everything. But until God sends the rain, there will be no rain. And I'm just going to be honest with you. There will be no rain until we all get right with God. And right with one another. I mean thoroughly right. And right with God. Then we can have some real rain from heaven. Lord, can I ask you this morning, will it ever rain again? I saw some showers in 96. I'd like to see it rain some more, wouldn't you? I saw some real rain clouds in Greenville. 82 through 85, I'd like to see some more of those rain clouds and rain falling from them. I'd like to see them here. God can send it. Do you want it? Let's stand together.